Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have taken the initiative to reach out to us, to redeem us, and to make us your own. Father, we come together this morning as your people to worship you, to praise you, to bring you glory and honor. Father, we come also to hear your voice speaking to us through your word. And we ask that you would do that now in such a way that we would be encouraged and equipped to serve you faithfully throughout all of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, at the beginning of the movie entitled The Princess Bride, Peter Falk plays the part of a grandfather visiting his sick grandson, played by Fred Savage. To help break the monotony of being sick in bed, the grandfather brought a book to read to his sick grandson. The book, titled The Princess Bride, did not sound very interesting to the grandson, but he conceded to give it a chance. With growing fascination through the course of the story, when it was done, the grandson asked his grandfather to return the next day to read it again, to which the grandfather gladly replied, "As you wish." Well, we know the basic dynamic, don't we? When something is good, we like more of it. That's true for so many things: good stories, good food, good movies, good sermons. What are those, right? This morning, we are presented with how that is true for the disciples of Jesus and their desire to grow in their understanding of prayer. If I were to ask you how many times you have prayed or heard others pray the Lord's Prayer, would you be able to give any kind of reasonably accurate number to that? Anyone want to take us? I doubt that you can. Thousands anyway, at least. Yeah. I know I couldn't come up with a number. The Lord's Prayer has been woven into the fabric of Christian lives for roughly 2,000 years. We pray it as part of our worship every Sunday. Along with the Apostles' Creed in Psalm 23, it's been taught to kids in Sunday school so that they could memorize it and make it part of their own lives. Well, this morning, in our second lesson, we hear the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray. They had just observed Jesus taking time out to pray, as he often did. Intrigued by the significance of praying for Jesus, they were eager for that to be real in their own lives. So they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And in response, Jesus said, "Seriously? You're all grown men and you don't know how to pray? Come on, what's the deal?" That's not what he said, is it? No. Actually, he was glad to do so. And I can imagine him saying, "As you wish." Jesus then offered the instructive and formational words we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Along with that, he also gave some additional principles which shape our understanding and approach to praying. I would not be at all surprised to learn the disciples more than once turned to Jesus with the same basic request: "Lord, tell us again what you said before in teaching us to pray. We want to hear it again." Well, from today's lesson, what does Jesus teach us about praying? Well, for one, he gives us a framework for praying. That is the text of the Lord's Prayer itself. And if you were paying attention, notice it seemed to be a condensed, the Reader's Digest version that's given by Luke here. It's not the full version that we know. Matthew does record the fuller one. But we have, nonetheless, we have the crux of the prayer here in Luke. You'll see in that some key components. For example, the component of worship. Worship is part of prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That is offering worship to God, acknowledging his holiness and his uniqueness and his otherness apart from us. It includes petition, give us this day our daily bread. We have needs and we are called and invited to bring those before the Lord. We also have the place for confession, even as we seek to forgive others. We seek God's forgiveness for ourselves. And that brings in the whole question of commitment on our part to live out the things that we've been talking about. That as we hear God's answers and responses to our prayer, then we live that out in our lives in accordance with what He has said. But don't miss the little word that you might skip over real quickly. The word daily. When Jesus was talking about the bread, He said, how's it go? Give us this day our daily bread. Right there, what we have is we see that this is a regular practice woven into the fabric of our lives. We don't just say, okay, it's January 1st, Lord, give me all I'm going to need to eat for the rest of the year, and then wait till next year's January 1st to say it again. None of this is of that character. It's that daily fabric kind of prayer that Jesus is describing, a la the daily shower that we take, hopefully, or maybe the daily times we watch the news on TV or our favorite TV show we make sure not to miss. We know that kind of stuff, don't we? Jesus is giving us this model as a regular thing, and we grow in praying as we engage in praying. It's not something that is just kind of dumped on us. All of a sudden, we are expert prayers, whatever that is. But as we do it, the more we do it, the more we grow in doing it. Well, note also the analogies of normal life experiences used by Jesus. He mentions a friend will respond to persistence, even though inconvenient. I love the picture. It's the middle of the night. And somebody has a traveler show up at their house and they don't have any extra supplies to help take care of them. And so he goes to his next door neighbor, pounds on the door, or he calls through the window. Imagine this, a spring evening, you have the windows open, and all of a sudden you hear at the window, psst. Hey, are you awake? The response initially, as Jesus tells it, is, we're all in bed, leave us alone. But the guy persists. I've got this visitor, I gotta take care of him, I need your help. And the point being that the person, the friend, will respond because the neighbor has been persistent, even though it's not especially convenient. He's got to drag himself out of bed, open up the cupboard, get the bread out, take it and unlock the door, and who knows how many latches he has on the door, gives him the bread and then goes back to bed and hope that he didn't wake up the kids in the process. Another example, a father will give needs to their kids. Yes, of course, we all know there are exceptions of cruel fathers and all that. But Jesus is just talking about normal kinds of things here. When a father sees his kid is hungry and the kid asks for an egg, the dad's not going to pull out a snake instead. That's the exact imagery that Jesus is using here. It's an absurd picture, isn't it? Of course the father is going to give what his kid needs. Here's where Jesus brings it home. How much more will the Heavenly Father give to us the Holy Spirit? We misunderstand when we imagine that this promises God will give us whatever we ask, as if we're special ordering a new Maserati or something. I want a 2019 model with black exterior, tan interior, and a nifty place to put my sunglasses. That's not what this is describing. But it does lead into the third aspect of what Jesus teaches us about praying. Praying is the practice of seeking God, our Heavenly Father. We do that based on the character of our Heavenly Father who invites His redeemed children into His presence. in Christ. As Christians, we need not be fearful. We need not be hesitant about doing that. I'm sure all of you who were here last October remember us working our way through the letter to the Hebrews. What we heard back then, because we know Jesus, who is our great high priest, our Savior, our advocate, our mediator, because of that we are encouraged, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. We are invited, we are encouraged to come before our Heavenly Father. Jesus tells us here that as we ask, that as we seek, that as we knock, we will receive, that we will find, and we will have our way open in accordance with our Heavenly Father's purposes for us. That's why we persist in praying. We are persistent in praying so that we might be better prepared for faithfulness in living. That fellowship with God feeds our faithfulness in life. I don't know if any of you ever heard of a mother by the name of Monica. She lived back in the 4th century. Jim Burkholder lived next door to her when he was growing up. Does that name ring a bell for anybody? Monica had a son who was just off the deep end, hedonistic, just pulling out all the stops in that whole lifestyle and full bore, ignoring everything about the faith. And it broke Monica's heart. As a Christian, she was desperate for her son to come to know the Lord and for him to be able to walk with the Lord and get away from the destructive lifestyle that he was caught up in. 30 years! Monica prayed every day for her son. 30 years! Do the math. Somebody's got a calculator real quick. That's a long haul. But because Monica persisted, she saw her son, who we know as St. Augustine, come to faith in the Lord and live out his faith in ways that have continued to impact the world even today. Jesus also reminds us here that we have been given the Holy Spirit as our active guide. That's what comes out of that last verse when he's talking about, you know, dads giving their children what they need. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And there it is again, as we keep encountering this summer, talking about walking by the Spirit. Living our lives fully engaged with our living God. That's the essence of prayer. Jesus is helping us see that this is something that's way beyond putting in time on Sunday mornings. It's something that's way beyond paying your dues in some fashion or even saying the right words in the right order of a particular prayer. This is bringing your life before the God of the universe, who is your Heavenly Father, knowing that He cares about every detail of your life. And He's going to speak to you in some fashion or another. How will that happen? In lots of different ways. But He finds a way to do just that. Praying is an amazing privilege that we have been given to have communication and fellowship with God. Folks, we need to keep reminding each other of that, telling each other again and again, praying for each other and praying with each other. having it become part of the fabric of our lives, not just an alarm button we use in times of crisis or calamity, but something that is part of us. And all of that is for our benefit, because it's that opportunity for communication and fellowship with God. Martin Luther once asked the question, what will you do in the mundane days of faithfulness? Do you hear that? What will you do in the mundane days of faithfulness? He is well aware of the fact that there are some extraordinary circumstances or special celebrations, and those things are great and all that. But what about the normal days? What about the normal days? What will you do, in, to put it in another way, in the normal days of faithfulness? How are we going to know? Well, we have the gift of prayer to help us know, because we are coming before the throne of grace, where we will meet our Heavenly Father, and He will make that known to us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm pretty confident that there's not a person here that is not very familiar with what we call the Lord's Prayer. But sometimes familiarity becomes a problem. We breeze through it. We don't think about it. We don't linger in your presence. Father, forgive us for being brash, for being presumptuous, for being in a hurry. Lord, we give you thanks for the privilege that you give us of knowing you and being in fellowship with you. And so once again this morning, we ask, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.